On this episode of Not Your Average Amigos, we're back again, minus Cabo. Cabo is now, he's out
Cabo there. Is, surprise, surprise, has a job.
There you go. Good. Fantastic. So Gen Z shows that they have some resiliency and they can produce. So we're getting Cabo. Well, what kind of job is he up to?
We can say that he's pumping gas.
Okay, that's about as
we're life. Not going to say where.
That's fine. I might drive by and get some free gas.
And he's yet to pump gas. He just got the job, but he reports in very soon. So great. He's excited.
Good.
He's excited to work.
Work is good, man. Sitting around idle is fun for not too long.
Yeah, he told me that he just felt like a loser not having a job.
Yeah, you want to contribute. You want to feel worthy of doing something in this world,
whatever it is. So anyway, he'll be on future episodes.
Okay, he's a hard guy to pin down.
In between shifts.
Oh, in between shifts. Well, we know we have the schedule. I'll get that back out to you for March, mm-hmm. and then maybe Cabo can join us between his busy gas pumping job and whatever.
I will also be busy, but I will find time.
Good.
And I will look at the calendar for March.
You have 24 hours a day, just like the rest of us, so we all can find time.
I do. But I'm usually sleeping at least 6 to 8 of those.
Okay. Fair enough. Same here.
I'm incapacitated.
Well, that's not good.
Defecating, those kind of things. That takes time.
Okay. So some me time, which takes about an hour of your day.
Yeah. Hopefully. I'm also on the road. I actually travel and
you got to get rid of those
jobs.
Get in
a car and on a plane.
You got to get rid of those traveling jobs, dude. Do you like it? Do you like traveling? I mean, you've been doing it 30 years.
Oh, God,
it's
no.
Fucking awful.
God, no. I like driving.
Yeah. Driving's good, you know, on a limited basis, you know, 5 hours
they
here
took,
and there.
They took the fun out of flying.
Yeah, long ago. Prior to COVID, but now with COVID, I was out in Colorado last week. And had a little ski trip and everything went very well, but you're sandwiched in these seats and you know, you're bigger than I am that even with an aisle seat, unless you're up in first class, business class, you're fucked. You're going to get that cart drive by and knock you in the knee or someone in front of you is going to, you know, lower their seat. You're just never going to be comfortable on a plane. First of all. Plus the fact that everybody crams their carry-ons now. And so when you go to your bin, and that's bullshit, by the way. If you board that plane, so be it, and you get to your seat and there's not an overhead space enough for your one carry-on, that should be illegal.
Well, technically, the airlines have a dimension that's acceptable. It's a very interesting point.
Yeah.
Because I have some sad news. My Samsonite roller bag that I've had over 22 years.
Yeah. It's too big now.
The zipper finally went.
Oh, jeez.
I've been jamming shit in there, sitting on it, and that zipper has never failed me.
Mm-hmm. Take it to a place that does like embroidery.
I could do that, but the thing is, like, on its last legs, it's time.
Yeah, 20 years.
You know, everything has its time. All the rubber on the wheels has worn off to the point where it's very loud.
Yeah, it's time.
When I come through.
Yeah, I don't want to see you at an airport.
So I was shopping for new ones. I wanted kind of the same one, right, that fits in the overhead. And so the dimensions, like, that are acceptable in the overhead for the airlines are different, but there's a standard for the U.S. airlines, which is... 22-14-9, Charles. So I started shopping on the Samsonite website. And the dimensions, you plug in, you know, will fit in overhead. The dimensions, every one of those dimensions are a little bigger, like a quarter of an inch. Like they're pushing it. They're pushing the envelope.
Who's pushing it?
The Samsonite.
Oh, they're a little bit over.
Just a little.
You're not
just a fraction.
Seriously, doubt you're going to get busted.
That's what they're thinking.
Well, remember
but now. I went ahead and pulled the trigger. I got a good deal on a new one that's very similar to the one I had. I didn't go for the swivel. Don't need the swivel. I know people love the swivel.
Swivel wheels?
the swivel wheels stick out a little too much. I don't see that surviving if I have to check the bag. So I went with the inline wheels, like the skates, like I had before. And I have the what do you call it? Where you put the stuff on hangers. What would that be? Suit bag.
You carry that too? You hanging that in the front? That
no, it folds up.
Does that
get... And you put it in there. Folds. I had this before. Folds up perfectly. Put it right on top.
It folds. It goes into the bag?
Into the bag.
Huh.
It's a really light suit bag. Nice. Keeps your stuff nice.
Nice.
The key for the listeners too is if you're going to try to take shirts on the road and fold them up, even in a suit, if you're going to carry like, you know, a suit bag.
Yeah.
You need to keep it in the plastic that you get from the dry cleaner.
Special chemicals.
I don't know what's going on in there, but if you don't, it's a big difference.
Okay.
Yeah. That's free advice, by the way.
Well, I guess, you know, back to the original comment, last year at this time, I flew out to see fellow Teak brother, Steve Rohrbach. And
that's right. You just flew recently, right?
Twice. So, meaning this, I was out in Colorado visiting Steve about this time last year, more closer to April. And I flew because on price, prices started to go up real quick. I flew United. I usually fly American. Philadelphia, to me, American's kind of the... Somewhat of them.
Yeah.
Although definitely. They're not the highest rated airline. They're number five. I think actually maybe Delta right now is number one out there as far as overall.
Really?
Yeah, overall satisfaction. But whatever. That'll change tomorrow. So I got on United. And besides the fact that I got on the plane, they then stopped. I mean, we're all on the plane, ready to roll. Their captain had not shown up. I guess they're kind of waiting for a last minute Hail Mary. So the guy that was going to fly the plane originally wasn't around. So maybe he got sick with COVID. So they fly in a new captain. So we had a D plane, get off that plane, wait for 2 hours for this captain to show up, then get back on the plane. The point is the overhead compartments is an older plane and you can't just turn your bag, your carry-on on its side like in a lot of airlines or a lot of planes today where then it's easier to fit. So most people had to check a bag at the gate, so be it.
Right.
I'm just saying, bottom line, people are just ruthless with this overhead space, and the airlines did it to them. Not the average flyer probably doesn't need to do this, but they charge the bag fees and this and that and the other thing. So,
right.
But if you sit at your, if you're on your row, you and your, maybe it's three people, three seats in that row, I think each person should have at least adequate overhead space in that row. Overhead.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they get around it because these people are cocksuckers. Excuse my French. They come out of nowhere and they just cram their bags wherever and then they go five rows back up. And I'm like, I get it. You're last to board maybe, but I don't know. I don't know how they get around it. I don't think there's any real answer to that question. All knows that I paid as much. Everybody pays a fair amount of money to travel, which, and it already sucks. So at least can I have an overhead space, but whatever. Okay. Because when you cram
it's
your
bags. It's a free for all.
Well, when you cram your bags under your seat, you know, an hour and a half flight, who gives a shit? But a 3+ hour flight with that bag under your seat, you know, you and me, we can't stretch our legs out anymore.
No.
I take it you are more likely than not, if not always, on an aisle seat.
I'm going to give you another tip real quick.
Go ahead.
So if you have to put your bag in front of you
under the seat.
Seat.
Yeah.
When the plane takes off.
Yep.
Pull the bag out.
I do.
And then put your feet in there.
Yeah, I do. Of course.
It actually works and it actually makes the seat a little more comfortable if it's like at the same level.
Yeah, I got you. Because you can drape your legs.
You're kind of sitting on your bag.
Yeah. I get all that. I totally understand.
Yeah. Here's what I do. I have to have the exit row. I don't have to have the exit row. I have to have an aisle.
You're at a bulkhead usually or no?
I have to have an aisle. Number one.
Okay, number
one. Or I go for the exit row first. Bulkhead's okay, but I don't like the bulkhead as much as the exit row because there's really no front place to put your bag in
front
of you.
And you don't have
so you got to put two bags in the overhead.
And there's no place to put your laptop or something because there's no seat
in
front of you.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Depends on the size of your laptop, right?
Or your iPad.
Okay.
Good.
So the exit row is you know, key for me.
Right.
And so for years, you would have to go through this process of trying to get the exit row. And you could only do that if you had certain status.
Right.
On some of the airlines, or with like Southwest, you had to get a earlier seat. You know, you had to either buy the business class seat, which cost more to get in there.
Yep.
That worked. That worked okay.
Yep.
But now they got smart and they start assigning, you know, costs for these seats with more legroom.
Right.
Which are going to be the extra row. So I get those all the time.
Sure.
And then they got even smarter and they do it before you know, it was like book your ticket, then pick your seat. And then if you're lucky, you can get one of these premium seats. Now you can just book your ticket. And if it's a premium seat, you book it with the premium seat and then you pick the premium seat.
Okay.
So you know if there's going to be one. So I can see in there, you know, if there's going to be a premium seat, I can see what it costs. Mm-hmm. It's pretty reasonable.
So what's your,
it's not like going first class. It's probably like anywhere from, you know, $30 to $100 premium.
Okay.
Per trip. Yeah. Each way.
Each way. That's a problem because once you go in there now, you add that to one leg and then you want to do the round trip leg and it's like, oh, I have to do the same thing again. You're paying it.
No, you pay all of it. That's what I'm saying. You pay it all up front.
Oh, no, I got you.
And then you get two premium seats.
Right. I'm just saying is that there used to be, when they gave you a number, for example, they said, it's round trip to San Diego for $450. Well, it was $450 years and years and years and years ago. But now $450 becomes $550 or more, maybe $750 total cost because you have to add $100 each way for these premium seats. That makes sense,
right?
Yeah. So it's just like the old days used to be a round trip ticket was X, and you're like, okay, that's basically what I'm going to pay. I'm not going to upgrade anything good. But nowadays, you know that you're probably going to change a few things, check a bag, do whatever. If you don't have premier status, you're going to pay for that. You know, Americans $30 a bag. It's not the end of the world. I can live with it.
Right.
And they've done a good job so far in the last. I mean, I've mostly flown American the last 2 years, and then the one United. And I'm not blaming United, but I just thought the airplane sucked, and the fact they didn't have a captain. You know, why would you board anybody if the captain's nowhere in sight? And I think that's kind of a fuck up.
But I have not had luck with United.
Right, they used to be really solid, right? You know.
Oh yeah, when I first started flying, and I was going out to the West Coast. All the time, long flights either to Seattle, LA, San Francisco. I would get upgraded to first class and they'd roll out the cart and I'd have some shrimp cocktail and a drink or two.
Yeah.
They lost my bag with all my clothes on a trip.
Ooh.
So I had no clothes. Being a big guy, that was very difficult to make sales calls and find clothes, you know, to fit me. That was a nightmare.
Wearing your sweatpants and your sneakers.
Yeah. And then when all the perks went away, it was just, I'm done with them.
Yeah. You know, have you flown?
And I went to US Airways,
yep.
Which became American.
Let me ask you this, and I haven't. We almost pulled the trigger, then we found that it was so much work. We said, fuck it, we don't like this. But have you ever flown like Spirit or Frontier?
I have.
Which one? Both or?
Both.
All right. So we signed up for a deal with Frontier so we'd have preferred baggage bullshit and all this. It's a membership.
Right.
And then they timed Diane out of a trip. So she decided she's going to rebook it because something happened. So the whole idea of signing up for this was to get some freebies built into the annual fee. And then they screwed her trip up and then it didn't go through. And then she had to make a last minute decision. So she went back to American. So, you know, we haven't actually flown on Frontier, but now I'm hearing like they don't even have customer service representatives. You have to go online. Everything's a chat bot, whatever. But it's like, how much further can they discount this thing to the point where it doesn't make any sense to me unless it's a really short flight? So you go, you've been on both.
Okay. So what I found, couple things. I would not fly either unless I had to. They put out a price that's very low, but by the time you have to pay for your seat and you pay for your bag and maybe you pay for some other bullshit, it's not that much better.
Right.
I don't have a lot of confidence in their system because they have very few planes.
Right.
Planes go back and forth. So you, if you do have a problem with a plane, you're going to get stuck. So I just wouldn't do it. As far as, you know, like the people and the plane, it's been fine once I got on there. But I just don't think it's worth it.
So why did you use them? Was it because you had to or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because there was no other available flights. There's less flights now. I mean, well, especially direct flights. And that's, I really try to get a direct flight because.
Totally. And they're hard to find.
A lot can go on wrong when you're connecting.
Yeah. When you're flying on certain airlines, it seems to be no brainer, like between two points. So if you're going to fly from Philly to Denver, you're going to find plenty of flights, plenty of direct flights. Flying actually from Philly to Salt Lake is a little bit actually different because we had a trip last year we're going to ski and we did in Park City and we had this huge credit left over because the trip got canceled during COVID. So we just, you know, pulled the trigger. We had to use all of it by this deadline. So we went business class. We're like, oh, we're in business class. And then the trip we had, the first leg out was a direct flight. And then suddenly she gets a message from American like, that flight no longer exists. You're now on this flight, which is going to put you through Charlotte into Salt Lake. And I'm like, oh, okay. But I mean, it's freaking Salt Lake. It's a pretty major city. Maybe it's not a hub, you know, but
it's a hub for, it used to be a hub for Delta.
Right. I mean, so I felt like it's a fairly big,
maybe United.
Well, with all the people going there as a destination to ski, for example, I don't know.
Right.
I mean, I just thought, you know, that was, we got a direct, no, actually, no, I think both legs got, no, I think we had a direct flight on the way back. But either way, point is like, I agree with you. If the flight's over, you know, the hassle of connecting in its own right is just a hassle to begin with. You got to deplane and pull your crap out. And sometimes it's unavoidable. If you're going to have a huge trip, like flying to Hawaii, I got bad news. You're going to have to, you know, connect somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
From the East Coast. But, you know. Anyway, so it's painful and, you know, we're going to a trip in May when it's actually direct for now, as far as we know, but,
where are you going?
to the Caribbean.
Oh, nice.
St. Martin.
He'd
make a switcheroo. So every other year is a family ski trip because one person in our family doesn't ski, but they will take one for the team. So this year it's like, okay, we did that ski trip last year as a family. We'll do one to someplace warm and tropical. So it actually worked out very well. We found a friend of ours has been using still considered a travel agent, but they're independent. And they do everything everything's virtual with them. You call them, Zoom them, whatever. I get it. And it just made more sense for a trip like this. You know, I think if you're going to go over to Europe, if you haven't ever been before, you know, some of these places, if you're not going to be staying at a traditional hotel maybe, and you want to do other things. So it worked out very well, you know. So St. Martin. But it's a direct, but we have to go out of Newark. So we're still driving and we're going to spend the night before and stay over at a place and then jump onto the, get to the airport on the next day.
But,
cool.
Well, I mean, I was on a few planes in the last couple of weeks and I just want to let everybody know that I didn't see any balloons or any unidentified flying objects. I was looking, I was making a point, you know, to look for these things, but I did not see any. But I do have to, you know, last episode, I might have to say that I was wrong about the Chinese spy balloon, that maybe they were really a Chinese spy balloon, and there's maybe more of them now.
Oh, God, yeah.
So I'm willing to say that I could be wrong there. Probably I'm wrong.
You know, we forget that we're doing as much, if not more, the other way.
And just seems odd, like a balloon.
Well, here's what just, here's what
you know in this day and age.
Well, here's I just read a very extensive article about one of the premier now balloon makers. They make them for all kinds of things. They make them for surveillance. Yeah. They make them for weather. The guy that you know now feels like this is his you know his heyday, but he
is an American?
No, he's not. I don't think so. But either way, the point was
that'd be ironic
when you he's Chinese. The satellites that go around there, they move at a very high speed. They only get snippets at a time, and they piece the stuff together. Whereas if you have a properly maintained spy balloon, you can keep it in certain areas for long periods of time. So it gets high amounts of surveillance because it stays positioned stationary over a target. I think the Chinese balloon got away from them, bottom line. But, you know. And by the other way, it's so just disingenuous. We reserve the right to, you know, shoot down your, you know, spy balloons. Well, so far we don't know of any. They're probably out there, but we don't get caught doing it. Second of all, hell yeah. We totally freaking accept the fact that if our dumbass balloon got away from us and goes over China in their airspace, they can blow it out of the sky.
Yeah. Did
we say no? We're like the Chinese. So you see what's happening. They're doing, there's something in the South China Sea patrol that goes up. They're out there all the time, just kind of keeping an eye on things, eye in the sky. And they're doing a fair amount of surveillance, but they never cross into Chinese official Chinese airspace. So this past week or so, maybe recently, a Chinese fighter jet ran alongside this plane. Literally, it was 200 feet away. And then they sent signals over, you must back down, you must leave, you or whatever, you know, like some crazy, you know, it's almost like, please, please do not do this. Don't do that. Whatever. The thing is
that you're gonna get canceled doing impersonations.
I don't want to do impersonations, actually. I could do better, but I don't want to.
Yeah.
I apologize. What I'm saying,
you look kind of Asian though.
But it was a woman with an Asian. I'm just saying, there is a Chinese program. I mean, they must either translate into English, but it was a Chinese woman speaking English, and she had a thicker Chinese accent. And she says, you must, you know, it's in that, you know, it's sound. She goes, you must leave now. You go away. So it was kind of crazy the way it came across. The point is, we weren't invading their airspace. They're now obviously triggered and a little more paranoid that, you know.
What do you mean? Somebody came out. There was a Chinese woman.
No, so
talking to our balloon.
We, the United States, probably through the Navy, runs missions all the time in the South China Sea.
So this was a ship.
No, this was an airplane, like an AWACS.
And a Chinese woman's voice was yelling at the airplane.
Correct. So what it was?
I need a video.
Yeah, I know. So exactly right. So we were flying.
You go away. Now.
Exactly. You go away. But we're flying our mission, which we do all the time. We do it all the time.
How do they hear that? Came through our.
Yeah, they got on our comm. You know, like, hey, you know, it's like Wrath of Khan, you know.
Those pilots must have just been crying their eyes out.
Well, they were. They were sitting there laughing because they're like, we run these missions every day. But what they did is they ran this fighter jet and flew right up against the airplane we're in, the United States. Wow. And then this woman's voice comes over the intercom, says, you go now, you must leave. And I hate to do that voice, but that's what it sounded like. That's
what do you? I got to hear what the pilots were saying.
They were laughing. They're like, hey, fuck off. We do this all the time. Like, we stay. We are
in, I'll have the chow mein.
Right. We're international airspace. And it's so, I know it's a stereotype, and I apologize.
I threw that out there. You're okay. You'll be okay.
Yeah, I just don't want anybody to think. But the point was, it was a woman with a heavy Chinese accent.
That's hilarious.
Who gets on the phone, on the intercom, whatever, this, you know, in our plane, they're kind of patching her in, and she says, you must go now. You get away. You invade space. It wasn't complete sentences, and that's what I'm saying. It didn't sound like complete sentences, and I'm like, it sounded like broken English.
That's called broken English.
Yeah, it sounded like broken English almost, and I'm like, oh my God, this is such a stereotype. It shouldn't be like this, but that's the best you can do? the best you can do. Like, it's almost like they're trying to be polite about it. They're like, no, right. please do not do this to us. You must leave. But at the same time, they're saying, get the fuck out. And we're like, no, we're in international space. We know how to fly planes. We know where the lines are. We don't cross them. And if we do, right. then we get shot out of the sky, you know, fair and square. So that was this past week. Speaking of
awesome. We covered balloons.
We covered much about balloons, and I don't think we're done with balloons for a while.
It's going to travel, air travel. We covered air travel.
But I did want to say, now we're at a year, and I hate to put this out there, but the year anniversary of the war in Ukraine, and right. here we are still, and now China's kind of mucking around. I'm like,
yeah,
I'm
frightening.
Yes and no. It's right. Either they're trying to play a hand and kind of play Putin, maybe, I don't know, and at the same time broker a deal and become the heroes here. I don't know.
It's all,
but it's, they're not going to get too, I don't think they're going to go hardcore into it, because you know, Biden's already said, and I'm not trying to, you know, pat him on the back, but you know, we pulled out of Russia. Most United States companies, whatever, American companies pulled out of Russia. Now he's like, look, you
I
go,
so.
Well, Biden's threatening. He's like, look, you give aid to Russia, we're just going to start pulling our companies out of China. He didn't say we're going to like nuke you. We're just going to, we're going to start pulling back as many companies as we can. And, you know, so it's economic. There's going to be more, you know, the right. economic sanction route. No going in, beating your chest. There's no reason to at this point. Right. Anyway, this is the world we live in. I still, everything's economics, everything's land. It's nothing's changed in thousands and tens of thousands of years. And, you know, and here we are.
The only issue is if we pull our companies out of China, we're in big trouble.
Well, that's going to make what was a recession, I mean, I'm sorry, inflation become a recession and or worse. So it's a lot of jobs.
Yeah, it's gonna really disrupt any manufacturing.
Yeah, but you know, it hurts them as much as it hurts us.
Electronics.
It hurts China.
Motor vehicles.
But I just think they hide it better.
I don't know if it really hurts them as bad.
How? What's their natural resource in China?
Cheap labor.
That's about it. They don't have a lot of natural resources they pull from.
They do.
They've got some, don't get me wrong, but they don't have the same amount of natural gas, oil, which you get from Russia.
Right.
You know, a lot of things we have here, we still have a fair amount of the natural resources to our advantage. So I think
diplomacy with China, always diplomacy.
Yeah, but you gotta keep an eye, keep them at arm's length. You know, keep your.
We're sorry, we shot down your balloon.
No. Absolutely not. Fuck you. We blew down your balloon. Fuck you.
All right. I think you're right. I think, you know what? You could just say, hey, go ahead and shoot our balloons.
Shoot
down.
Away.
Yeah.
Maybe we, you know, they're just, they play dumb. That's the thing that makes you crazy. Oh, no, we sorry. I'm like, no, you are not sorry. You know exactly what you're doing. It's methodical. I just don't think.
Yeah. Whether it was a spy balloon or a weather balloon, doesn't matter. It was shot down.
Yep. And then they have the absolute.
Let's move on.
They have the absolute right to do the same. So.
If it stole, if it got reconnaissance, it got reconnaissance. It's over. Yep. What are we complaining about here? Let's move on.
Not complaining.
No more balloons coming to our airspace, or we shoot them down. I like it. I like that policy.
All right. So what's next on your agenda? What do you got to say?
I didn't know I was going to be picking topics.
Well, I'm reading off the news feed. So
you're reading up the news.
No, yeah, we'll just do that then. So here's one. funny. Was it Heinz?
I could talk about the Super Bowl.
Why? We lost.
Because once again, the Eagles get the shaft.
True and not true. They got some bad.
How control. Not true?
I don't know how. I mean, there were at the very end there were some bad calls,
yes,
for sure. And so that did that to fully define the game.
There was one
maybe we
horrific, yeah. maybe the most horrific call ever.
Yeah.
In a Super Bowl.
Which one?
The holding call.
Oh, that
on the receiver.
Right. True. True.
It didn't necessarily guarantee the Eagles a win.
No.
But it ended the game.
It ended the game. Did not give them an opportunity to you know, come back.
And it was so borderline. I mean, the guy, our guy showed a lot of class saying it was holding, but they hold all the time.
Yeah.
And that was nothing.
Well, it was.
And the guy
was a brush.
Ended the game.
It was a brush.
With like 2 minutes left.
He brushed his back. The lower back, the hand went across the lower back, right? That's what I saw.
It's really hard to be an Eagles fan. Really hard. And this is why. Because the NFL does not like. I shouldn't say that. The NFL needs a villain.
Mm-hmm.
And they always try to make Philly the villain.
Why?
With their crazy fans. And we buy, you know, I'm not saying we're not crazy, but there's other crazy shit going on in other towns.
There's a lot of fans.
It's the coverage.
Crazy.
It's how they pick things out that happen with Philly fans.
Right.
Back, they still go back to Buddy Ryan days with the bounty. They never give it up.
It's good.
And they don't want Philly to be the Super Bowl champion, and they don't want to be the dynasty.
Well, they did 5 years ago, but beyond that win, which was a miracle, this should have been a lock, in my opinion, many ways. I think even more so in some ways. I wonder if the powers that be see Mahomes as potentially filling the shoes of now the departed, finally departed Brady. You need another guy.
In what way?
He's a
Oh, like the GOAT.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He's clean cut guy.
Yeah, he's so, clean but cut. He's African
American. So Jalen Hurts. Oh my God.
Well, and either one of those guys could fill that role, but maybe, like you said, based on your theory, Hurts has no chance because he plays for the villain.
He's the villain.
Mahomes is the good guy.
Right.
Squeaky clean, and even Hurts might be squeaky clean. Hurts looks more like a badass to me. I see that guy. I'm like, damn, that guy can. He could laser beam your ass, you know, if he didn't like you and you'd be.
He's a strong guy.
He's a very strong human being.
Yeah.
I think he's also more, I believe, incredibly focused and getting a job. He made one little oopsie. Okay, fine. He fumbled, but that was early in the game. We can get past that.
It was the difference maker.
It's one of those big ones. It's a huge difference maker for him.
Because he hadn't done that all season.
Exactly. And that set a tone. And he made a lot of came back and made a lot of distance. The defense wasn't the defense that didn't show up as they usually have in the past. So we had a few things, but some bad calls. And you wonder, the calls are so almost like obvious. That's the point. Make a questionable call, but make an obvious call. It almost goes to like your point. They're just literally saying this is the way it's going to go right now. And then you have to wonder a little bit, like, in their hearts, in their minds, the refs, or they all get together and have a little private meeting and go, and somewhere
and
along
that might, meeting might that meeting might involve the NFL.
And suddenly, you know, in the Cayman Islands or in some Swiss bank account, some funds show up. If you want to be truly evil and paranoid about it, but you know, you have to wonder there's got to be something there. You know what I mean? No one does stuff like that could be maybe possibly ruin a career unless. You know what I mean? What's their motive? What's the motive to make that happen? What would, you know what I mean?
Money. It's money.
Exactly. Somewhere along the line, you would think there's a money trail. If you really want to connect the dots, people don't usually go down that path unless there's a financial reward of some kind. So,
right.
Yeah, it was an awful loss. It was an awful Monday. The Monday, I'm not a fan like you are, I'm sure, of Mondays generally. They suck.
Huge mistake and scheduled a sales call.
Why? You thought it was a win.
In advance, I didn't think about the Super Bowl date.
Oh,
and I did it.
I got you.
And it was like at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I was completely useless. Luckily, it was local here, and the guys that I was calling on were useless too.
Good. You both just
sat there. So we basically just sat there and talked about the game.
Cool. Come back next week and finish the sales call.
Yeah, we did. We risk it. We rescheduled.
Of course. Plus, my son was home that weekend, and I got a cold. I haven't got many, luckily, and thank God. But as soon as I got this cold, I was about to fly out to Colorado for the ski trip a few days after the Super Bowl. And, you know, so Monday I wake up, I feel like balls because I'm a little bit, had a few drinks, and it's been a shitty day before, and I've now got a cold. And I'm like sitting there going on Monday, I'm like, my God. Goodness gracious, it's like, you know, from, you know, ebullition to nothing, to feeling so down.
Yeah,
it's an interesting dynamic.
Sure is.
You know,
a lot of people, they said there was a commercial or no, it was a commercial, or did I think it was Bayer Corporation said put something out that people have heart attacks.
I bet.
Over this game.
I bet people drop dead. You know, people drop dead.
I don't know about dropping dead, but some of them probably, but people actually, it's a big stress.
Well, Monday, they say Monday morning is there's a period of time each week the heart attack rate goes up because
The mission that sounds
that shocked that was the body. But if you same shock, if you suddenly have a massive, you know, spike or, you know, whatever, downward to getting bad news or feeling bad about something, and your cardiac, you know, if you have some high risk, get that AAD. What's it called? AED?
Yeah. I've never been, I definitely know guys that are that into it and get that upset.
Yeah.
I've never been one of those.
Nah. It's a loss of
really
anything
don't.
Else.
I don't give a shit.
Not going to mean really. Anything in this. It's not going to mean anything towards human existence in 100 years. It's not going to make that kind of impact. But you know,
but I get it. I mean, you have a weekend where the Eagles lose and Dallas wins and the Giants win and the Redskins win, and maybe the Sixers are on and they lose.
Yeah.
Then it's not a very good weekend.
Yeah.
Sunday. Monday's tough. I get it.
So now we're about to move. Well, we still have basketball and hockey. I'm not going to put any faith in the hockey team, in the Flyers at this point.
Never know. They said that about the Eagles at the beginning.
It's just hard because it's the seasons with these guys are so long, and the play.
Yeah.
All you have to do is get into the playoffs in hockey, generally speaking. And that's just the name of the game.
Phillies. Phillies look pretty good.
I know. We got some
year.
Tickets. I got into a small package deal.
Look at you.
Very little. Very little. Like a couple of games for me.
Yeah.
Because I have no one who would ever go. Do you actually go? Do you go to the
Phillies? I haven't gone for years, but I enjoy going to the baseball games.
You should meet us after home. We might be doing opening day, home opener, if you're interested.
I'm more into I really like the standing room only concept the standing area.
Yeah.
Where you just drink and eat and chat and occasionally watch baseball because it's super boring.
I like it.
I'm up for that.
Yeah, because you know anything with this, anytime you're watching a baseball game, if it's you're not spending too much on the ticket, even if the game's good, you might say, "I'll leave now and catch the rest of the game at home."
Yeah,
not feel guilty. But I mean, you know, if the game gets hot and you want to stay, you stick around.
Right.
So you know, that's the thing, and it's still affordable. Hockey is
it's pretty crazy.
Major League Hockey, or the NHL, has gotten so fucking expensive that it's
same with basketball
prohibitive. Yeah, and then basketball started. How long? I mean, I thought a few years ago I was looking at some nosebleed seats that were pretty reasonable. Now also, I don't
because they sucked.
Well, that's the thing. Back to the point. The seats prices change more in a fluctuation with how well the basketball team's doing versus
absolutely,
which I found weird because hockey sets a price. This is an upper level. This is a lower level. You want to buy it on the market, then you pay for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But do they actually?
Well, they don't fluctuate the season tickets in basketball up front.
Okay. Okay. That's
yeah.
What
but I mean they will year to year if they think they have a good team.
That's more so I think with basketball.
Right.
Right,
but I just think the Flyers have been,
they've been
so iffy.
Yeah, they've been lackluster.
They're not moving them, but they definitely were moving the Sixers up and up and up. I don't know what they are now. I'm pretty sure I couldn't afford season tickets.
Well, you know, a game works.
Oh yeah, I can get a game or two. I know people that have the Sixers tickets.
Your turn to put this.
Probably the Flyers. I went to an Eagles game this year.
Put that.
I'm not buying them myself. I'll let somebody. Give me tickets or I'm just not buying them.
Yeah, the Eagles would be very cost prohibitive now. So the best deal in town to see a really great team, you think about it from last year at least, is the Phillies. That's the best bang for the buck.
How about the Union?
You know, I played soccer.
I heard they were good.
I played.
They got to the finals.
I played soccer for many years.
Yeah.
Pretty damn good at it. And I never, unless it's an exciting game like the World Cup or, you know, either direction, men or women, I don't care, you know, maybe even the Olympics. It's exciting. Right. But just to watch generally a soccer game, just to watch it, it's not the World Cup, I yawn. I'm sorry.
I actually think it's one of those sports that might be better in person because I cannot watch it on TV.
True. I won't.
Yeah, I think it'd be better in person.
I won't disagree with that.
Yeah.
I think being there live might make a lot of sense.
It's right.
Just watching, you know, again, unless it's the World Cup or something exciting, big things are about to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would not turn on even on a good day, I wouldn't turn on a soccer game just to kill time even. So,
right.
I mean, whatever. I'll flip the channel and try to even watch other sports teams, you know, from other cities. We're talking basketball or even football, definitely. Football's one of those sports, actually, you could watch a lot of different games on a weekend and be fairly satisfied.
Yeah. Versus having football is – I much prefer football – in my couch, sitting on my couch.
Right. So we could have now again. The NFL is over, but there's still like a Canadian league out there and some other leagues out there.
They have the USFL's come back too.
Do you watch that? Would you watch? Exactly. It's not. That's what I'm trying to say. Unless NFL ran all year long, the other leagues are forget it. Why even watch it?
Well, I mean, people
do
who really like football will watch it. I guess
they do. I think some people are sick in the head.
They like that's what their thing is.
I know, I always think the sports to the point.
It's not
where,
like they're serial killers.
No, some might be closeted.
True,
closeted.
True.
But
they might do a correlation between USFL fans and serial killers. Is that what you're saying?
There might be something in there. I think in the general pool of football lovers, there might be a few crazies.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Because it's the most watched sport, probably not in the United States. So by the percentages alone, you're gonna probably find one or two serial killers in that pool.
I'm pretty sure those leagues exist because of gambling.
Exactly. DraftKings.
Right.
FanDuel.
Right.
Fuck you, FanDuel. Hey, FanDuel. Just kidding. I love you, but you've done nothing but fucking empty my pocket the last year. But between the Phillies, I bet on the Phillies on FanDuel.
Oh,
lost.
Man.
It was be a great bet if I won. Of course, I bet on the Eagles. Lost everything.
I'm not a betting person.
Well, just a little bit, like 50 to 100 bucks.
The last bet I placed on a sports team, was the Eagles to win the Super Bowl.
2018.
It was the year.
What year is this?
They lost to Tampa.
With McNabb.
Well, McNabb was
the last Super
quarterback,
Bowl.
But it's not the Super Bowl.
Oh.
They didn't make it to the Super Bowl year I bet.
You were betting if
they lost to Tampa in the NFC Championship.
Okay, gotcha.
With Warren Sapp and those guys were on there. The guy Chucky was the coach. Gruden.
Gruden.
That year, I was in Vegas.
Good place for the Super Bowl? Or this game?
Early in the season.
Right. The game you're betting on.
I put $1,000.
Go big or go big.
On the Eagles.
And
the
Eagles? Sorry.
To win the Super Bowl.
That year.
That year.
It's not a bad bet.
$1,000.
Not a bad bet. How much would it pay?
Let me tell you, I heard about it.
Who?
From my accountant.
Why?
AKA.
Nah, don't say his name.
Wife.
Well, wait, you don't use the other guy? He's not in Jersey? JS? JS Sebastian?
No, I have a built-in accountant here. Why would I use?
So your spouse, she's officially an accountant, like public.
Yeah, she's an accountant.
But she's a public.
She's a CPA.
Okay, there you go. She's a CPA. Yeah. She should be like a tax accountant, dude. She can't do your taxes. All right, so your spouse.
I went to pay off my debt.
I was
at the bank.
Why would you
getting ready to get the wire. And as I pulled the money out of the bank, my phone rings.
Why are you taking these funds?
What is going on?
Put that money back in our account. That's our vacation.
So I had to come clean. Never bet again.
What? You pussy.
Never bet again.
You're a pussy. I'm going to like that word.
This is not my thing.
You're a giant pussy.
That year, they should have won the Super Bowl. That was the best team they had.
$1,000 out of the account your accountant/spouse sees. Take it out of your slush fund account and make
I don't have a slush fund.
What?
No.
Do you have a PayPal account?
No, no. I mean, I have a PayPal account. I don't have any money in there.
That's your slush fund. Only you can access it. Nobody else can. It doesn't show up any other
money that's not making money.
You do realize that you need to have 6 months of living expenses in an emergency fund that should
We do.
Okay, but
we do.
Where
it's not in my PayPal account.
Okay.
And that's not a slush fund.
Okay, but wait, time out. Mm-hmm. Even a high yield savings account is getting maybe 3% if you're lucky, 2.5%.
Right.
I'm not saying you shouldn't keep stuff in PayPal, but if you kept $100 in PayPal as a whatever, just in case no one can see it thing, you're not going to miss the interest on it.
I might have $100, but that's not $1,000 to make a bet.
You make a $100 bet.
Oh, well, okay. Why? What are you going to make?
Not a lot, but at least you don't have shit.
Nothing.
At least it doesn't trigger anybody's radar when they sit there and go, $1,000 just.
I don't see the value.
And you shouldn't bet. Dude, you know how much money I've made on 20? I mean, I started 5, 10, 15, just graduate, start early in a day at a blackjack table, especially whatever, usually in Vegas. And you start, and there used to be a day where it was $5, probably starting at 15 today, you know, on a table. And eventually you work your way up, it's $25 a bet. I've made lots and lots and lots of money, lots off those, because it's an easy in, and I always pull half my winnings, as anybody would know, into their pocket. So by the end of the night, hopefully I have a big pocket full of chips. But I didn't start with a $100 table. I started with a $15 table.
I'm worried about you.
I don't do it very often.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not a big gambler. I'm not going to throw down tens of thousands of dollars like some high roller, but I'm going to. Your first bet, you take a little bit off, and then the rest goes back in, and you just keep off of that. It's like even if you want to play scratch offs, you can do the same mentality. You do like a $15 whatever. There's a whole process
to
this.
All right. Do not gamble.
Well, sounds like you're risk averse.
Actually, you know what? I did take a bet from a guy at the golf club. This is a funny story. Guy at the golf club is a Giants fan.
Oh, another asshole.
And there's one, he's always wearing Giants stuff and everything. He's always giving shit. He's a funny guy. He's a nice guy.
Actually. Nice guy, like but him. He's a Giants fan.
I like him, yeah. He takes it in, you know.
Okay.
He's usually walking around wearing Eagles stuff because he's lost a bet. Okay.
Right.
And like most of the guys over there, he's always drinking.
Huh. Golf?
So and the Eagles were drinking. Playing the Giants the first time. Mm. Not the time they lost. The first time, the time they won. But before the game, I bet them $20.
Okay.
On the game, straight up or something. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm. Did you win?
So I go in and remind him that he owes me $20. And he pays me. Okay. I take a picture of him or something, goof on him. So the next time I see him, like a couple weeks after, I say something like,
"Hey, fuckface."
No. Did the Eagles beat the Giants in the playoffs, right?
Which season?
This season.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that the first game in the playoffs?
At least, yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, there was another after that. I go, he's on the first tee, and I'm like, I'll see you later for my...
He stiffed you.
For my winnings. And he comes over to me in the bar with $20.
Oh, good.
I'm like, dude, we didn't bet. Oh, he's like, oh, okay. I'm like, dude, you have a drinking problem. If you can't keep track of who you lost to.
Yeah, you got both.
You should probably check yourself.
You got both. You have a gambling and a drinking problem.
So every time I see him now, I'm like, hey, so we'll settle up at the bar. He says the same thing.
Comes over $20.
Yeah. Poor guy.
Is he older or younger?
He's 50s. Right, he's a funny guy. I mean, he's not like an alcoholic, but
how do you
he's
know?
Usually pretty tipsy. He might be.
He might be an alcoholic, dude. You can't say
define alcoholic. There's a good topic.
It's pretty simple. Medically speaking, someone who has a dependency on alcohol, who can't enjoy themselves without it, who's caused problems or a heartache or, you know, whatever pain to other people. They've lost job. That's alcoholism.
How about somebody that drinks every single day of the week? Is that an alcoholic?
If you keep it to a minimum of drinks, probably not.
Okay.
Because you can, males, and you're taller, so you can probably stretch it. Should be able to drink two 12-ounce beers, 8 ounces of wine, or eight or six, and then an ounce of straight alcohol. So you could be able to do that two times a day, of two drinks minimum. That would be 14 drinks a week and still not be anywhere in the alcoholic range. Not
what if it's double?
Still, based on body mass, tolerance, probably on the alcoholic side, can that same person cease drinking for indefinite periods? Can they?
Yes.
Good. Then they're not alcoholic.
Is that the check?
If you can cease drinking, or that individual can cease drinking for, you know, a couple of days, a week, even a month, or even longer, and then you're fine. Perfectly fine.
Okay.
I don't see a problem.
I agree with that. I agree.
So what's the next level?
Yeah. No, that's good.
If you're drinking, you know, I have moments where I totally get into a groove. Here's the thing. People that drink like to feel good, duh. But they also like
you
know, exercise, other things make them feel good. We seek a little pleasure. You know, I'm Pisces, so supposedly you're water.
So am I.
What day's your birthday?
March 16th.
I'm on Monday. Happy birthday to you in the future.
Happy birthday, Chuck.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. I'm getting old. My time's
coming. How old are you? 57?
My time's coming. I'm getting very dry down there.
57?
Six. Six, motherfucker.
Oh, okay.
Six.
We're
2 years apart. But yeah, so I back to what I think I was trying to say. If you can stop drinking, you know, if you like drinking, you should, you know, have your drinks. But if you have a moment where, you know, everybody is going to have a party, you're just going to have more than
JS.
Who's JS?
The accountant.
Oh, really? What's going on there?
I don't know. I like to bust on him. Oh, he'll probably be listening.
He's never listening. He's banned.
He's currently drinking some vodka drink right now. Guaranteed.
That's what he does?
Oh, yeah.
Big vodka drinker?
Oh, my God. You never heard about the pineapple vodka?
I heard he got Richard got a little bit tipsy once, heavily, after an open or something.
Well, the pineapple vodka has gotten a few of us.
Is it just vodka?
No, it's like pineapple vodka. So it has pineapple.
So it's pineapple flavored vodka. You just do
what he does is he soaks real pineapple in vodka in like a jar.
Okay, makes sense.
Big jar.
All right, gotcha.
And it comes out tasting like pineapple.
So you just drink it straight.
It's so yummy.
You drink it straight on the rocks.
Yeah, with some ice.
That's where you get fucked. That's where you got problems. Because now you're
one of our guys,
three or four shots at a time.
Right. One of our guys who goes by Young Blank.
Yep.
Is in the hot tub.
Wish?
Huh?
Wish?
Wish?
Rhymes with wish?
Yeah. Rhymes with wishy.
Go ahead.
Or witty. No, not wish. Witty.
Oh, that, oh, I got
you. Yeah, smaller guy.
Itty bitty titty?
Yeah. He's in the hot tub.
Itty bitty titty.
And you know how he gets going.
Yeah.
And he's talking and drinking this pineapple vodka, and JS is telling him, you better watch out. Okay. And he's kind of, you know, got a smirk on his face. He's not stopping him.
Hey, I think that's a little sadism there.
The guy, our buddy, Witty.
Itty bitty titty.
Is in the hot tub for a good 2 hours. Never leaves.
Didn't slide under.
While drinking, imbibing on the yummy pineapple vodka.
Yeah, that's going to...
I would get out and go in the pool.
Not going to end well.
And there were a couple of us, but we took breaks. Not Witty.
Not itty bitty titty.
He was on a mission.
Well, there's a lot to
unpack. And there, he did not answer the call for the golf tournament.
Yeah, I remember this. I was at
his JS's wife had to drive him there. He got out of the car and went into JS's truck and basically, you know, slept in the truck during the golf tournament.
I do remember this.
So then a couple years after that, we always would say he won't touch the stuff. We'd always say, you know, pineapple vodka. And he's like, yeah, stop it.
As long as he didn't.
So I get in there a couple years ago, and I don't know what I was thinking.
Same dumb
but
thing.
I start, you know, I want some pineapple vodka. So I actually fell out of the hot tub. I got out of the hot tub.
Boy. That's that.
And I was only in there, like everybody else had gotten out, so I was the last one getting out of the hot tub.
Yep.
And made a wrong turn ended up in the bushes.
Nice.
And I reached for something and it's all like macadam. Yeah. You know, like that pebbly stuff.
Yeah.
And it ripped all the skin off of my left hand.
Serves you right.
Which I hold with a golf club.
And your penis.
You know, and okay, whatever.
Just kidding.
So
I throw it out there, dude.
I fall and I crack my back right on the edge of the hot tub and it just a total mess into the bushes. Yeah, JS comes out, gets me out in my swimsuit, brings me into the pool room. And I
raise you next to Eddie.
I proceed to pass out while sitting on the couch in the pool room in my wet sweatshirt.
Beautiful.
And that's where I slept.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
It was a bad night.
Was that before or after your 50th birthday?
Oh, that was after my 50th birthday. That was only a few years ago.
Pretty impressive, man.
I don't know what got into me, but
you still got it.
I got it. Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm sure a few psychologists would be glad to evaluate your behavior and Itty's behavior because it says a lot.
We just get going. You know, we're having so much fun and
the
pineapple vodka is just so yummy and it doesn't taste like you're drinking vodka.
I think that has a lot.
And that with the combo of the hot tub.
Yeah.
You're basically boiling yourself. Yeah. So
you shouldn't drink in high heat.
No, they recommend you don't drink in the hot tub.
You shouldn't drink at high altitude like I was at last week.
So kids out there, watch that pineapple vodka.
Or go to your psychologist first and unpack all your bullshit, then drink.
Okay.
We all do it, dude. Hey, everybody, I bet you about how many men over the age of 50 probably still drink a little more than they should sometimes every once in a while because they're unpacking some mental bullshit that's buried deep inside their brains. And they're with guys hanging out, being guys, being animals, and fucking decide, let it loose, let it off the chain. We all have shit.
I don't know if it's all because of unpacking bullshit, but maybe.
I do.
Maybe I have some bullshit I don't know about.
I would, off the air, I'd be glad to have this discussion because I think I've got some really good insights on this. And I just think there's a pattern. Okay. It happens. There's a lot of things going on after a point in your life, you know?
I would rather not do it.
I know, but you do it once in a
while. But it's sure fun when you're doing it.
Fuck yeah. Nothing. Why wouldn't you we love doing it.
Yeah.
We love doing it. It's like, it's the thing.
But it's the morning after.
Yeah. There's no bounce anymore. And you know, you just lay there and.
There never was bounce.
I had bounce. I had lots of bounce up until my probably 30s. 30s, I mean, bing, bang, boom, just, you know, a few.
No hangovers?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Recovery was super quick.
Oh, okay.
Super quick. I'm just saying you bounce right back. Within a day, you're back to normal. You had one day to pay. Now it's 3 or 4 days, you know. You party like
that. Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
You know, it takes 3 days to get back to your normal feeling. And that's just part of the age, you know. They're going to.
Yeah.
Hey, look, man, I'm waiting for everything to catch up. We're probably going to miss the cusp of all this amazing stuff that's going to be like, hey, here's something you take immediately after you're done drinking your last drink.
And it
literally doesn't. No hangovers.
Hold on.
Real. Yeah.
I bought some stuff.
Does it work?
The last time I drank too much, I forgot to take.
Okay. Because they had I bought the party pack.
I bought it for our trip to Pinehurst.
It's
like a supplement.
Yeah, the supplements, just the party patch. You throw that on. It's got some medicine or some vitamins that go in there, vitamin Bs. And then you have.
I did the other night. This is what an idiot I am. I bought it, right? And it shipped. I got it. So I'm like, you know, I should probably test it out.
Sure. Get drunk.
So, yeah, week or two ago, I didn't, you know, not fall down dead drunk, but I had a little. I said, hey, you know,
booziness.
Let's just go for it with the wine and that sort of thing. Yeah. And I was up till like 2 o'clock in the morning and I forgot to take the shit.
Dude, you're what night of the week was this?
It was a weekend.
Good, thank God. You said 2 a.m., dude. Yeah. I haven't been up to 2 a.m. I can't remember, dude. I can't do it anymore. I cannot. No. Pass.
It's not a good move. No. It's not a good move when you're 20. Well, Corey's now 21, but
yeah,
your 20-something son comes up, you know, from his hanging out with the guys or comes in the house and goes to bed before you.
Yeah. Or your daughter.
It's a bad sign.
On weeknights, my daughter, because she gets up really early, she works out sometimes before she goes to school. So she'll be up at 5, 5:30, believe it or not. I'm like, I'm going to bed at 10, and I think it's a reasonable hour because I get up at 6. It's a solid 8, and she's in bed already. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's during the week, she's a driven human being. On the weekends, a little different story. She's usually...
Yeah, this is a weekend.
Yeah, usually after. Now, you know, the other side, my spouse will be in bed at 9. Women have a thing. I've talked about this. This is interesting. What time does your wife typically go to bed? Typically.
Early.
Define early. General time frame. Between X and Y.
Between 8 and 9.
There you go. All right. Thank you. I talked to a guy I share the office with now. His wife's getting, I don't know, she's 50 yet. She might just be about. Same thing. In bed. 8 to 9. My spouse. Yeah. In bed. 8 to 9. Now, what is that?
Well, they tend to do more during the day than we do. They're not lazy.
I agree.
There's very few lazy women.
I agree and disagree. I feel pretty high energy all the time, and I've seen the guy in the office pretty high energy all the time. So,
do you do as much as she does?
Yeah.
In a day?
Fuck yeah.
Really?
And maybe twice as much. Yeah, fuck yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I'll show you my schedule for the morning. My schedule, I'll send it to you. Your eyes will bug out. I get up at 6 a.m. because I spend 2 hours doing a ton of shit. A lot of things.
Like household things?
No, I meditate. I journal. I work out. I make my lunch. I read.
Okay, there's something. We have make your lunch. All the other stuff is not...
Yeah,
but exhaust you. It's the opposite.
I do, and then I work again.
If you say take a nap, I'm coming
and
through.
I work out, drive to the office. I'm in my office all day, pacing back and forth 100 times a day, talking to people, moving around. I get back. I'm not saying she doesn't. Don't get me wrong. This day she probably moves a lot more than me, but no.
Who's cooking and cleaning?
Both of us. We share cooking, but she does most of it. I do a lot. Mm-hmm. I do a fair amount of not.
Who
work.
Does the shopping?
Me, all every week.
You shop everything.
90%.
Food, clothing.
Well, clothing, liquor. Clothing doesn't count, and liquor doesn't count. I mean, if I'm at the liquor store, I'll buy liquor. If she's at the beer store, she buy beer. I do most of the grocery shopping. She also, we order the pre-prepared, whatever meal things, you know, like, Blue Apron. We do that, but I do a lot of shopping. I clean the bathrooms, today, did the laundry today.
Well,
yeah.
You're setting the bar too high for men.
Sorry, guys. I had a wife that was a career woman from day one. She was in corporate America from the day I had kids.
I have a career woman wife.
Well, don't you guys split this shit?
No. She does a lot more inside stuff, household stuff that's mind-boggling.
Your point is well taken.
I do the outside stuff.
I do that too. I mow the grass. I edge. I trim the hedges. I plant. I have a garden. I paint. Mm. I take the light, put the Christmas trees lights up, take them down. I maintain the cars to some degree.
Are you for hire?
I'm a great fucking catch. Not saying you're a bad catch, but I'm saying sometimes I have to go to my, you know, I'm saying, look, I do my share and then some.
Are you opposed to having two wives?
No, not at all. Whatever. I'm not going to get married twice. I take that back. I'd have two special ladies in my life if they agree to that. I'm getting married again. Two wives? No way. That's 50% times two.
My wife makes a lot of money.
Who?
My wife.
My wife makes a lot of money.
Yeah, well, you'd have two.
You know,
you'd make twice the money. You could quit your job.
You want to be sister wives?
Two wives, though.
You
want to be sister wives? Good, yeah. You could just be a full-time...
I could.
Dude that does everything.
I could. Look, my wife does a ton of stuff around here, but it's not... don't get me wrong. She works very hard, but I move a lot.
I don't move very fast anymore. I never really did.
Right. And you're probably going to live longer for it because you move and you take your, you'll take, no, you take your time. You're not expending all that energy. It's burning up and creating free radicals and all
I'm
that.
I'm not opposed to doing things, but like if we're going to like clean the bathroom.
Yeah.
By the time I get my ass up and can clean the bathroom, she could have cleaned the bathroom three times. That's so you. She just does it.
You should probably be married to Diane. I should be married to Melissa. We should swap wives. And I'll tell you why. Melissa sounds a little more high energy. You're not high energy. Diane's very mellow. You're very mellow. You catch my drift? You guys would be very, very super. Well, you know, opposite.
All right. Hey, propose it. I don't know.
That's not going to happen.
At this point.
I, you know, take your, tell you what, you get the four of us together for dinner sometime. Then we can start talking.
Oh my God.
Why not?
I don't know.
Your wife doesn't go out to dinner?
Too busy.
Busy doing what? Cleaning bathrooms?
All the shit you're doing.
No, you have 3 hours.
Work, house, everything. But she doesn't have two grown men as kids. They still act like babies.
Okay. But you can leave the house for a few hours at a time and leave your grown men kids, right?
Well, I'm usually on the road. I get the hell out of here.
So you wouldn't go out to dinner with your wife? And
yeah, I'd go out to dinner, but she's too busy.
No, she's not. That's absurd.
Yeah.
You have to get her down here sometime, put her on the podcast, have her answer these.
That'd be really interesting.
You should get her as a guest. Would you do
it? Okay.
Would you do
it? She might. She might.
She would be fat. She'd be like the Beth Stern.
Would your wife do it?
No. My wife hates this stuff. It's a little bit different. My wife should do it, but she thinks it's ridiculous, and probably she's right. But it's like, we enjoy it. Thing is, if Melissa's in, I'm in, because she'd be like Beth Stern to you. You're Howard.
She's just going to trash me. Yeah. Well, and rightfully so. Yeah.
Cut it out. Not in public. This is public. To some degree, this is on the public, you know,
No,
forum.
She wouldn't trash me. But.
Well, maybe you need to do a little more. Just a tad. Add one thing.
Yeah, I do. I do need to do a little more.
All right. This is about.
But then it's done. I can't do it.
Well, that's a problem, too.
Oh, hey, you know what? Yeah. I'm going to do the laundry today.
Yeah.
I turn around.
Done.
Freaking laundry's done.
Because it's not on that person's time. You're not on their timetable. And that's wrong. I've had the same damn conversation a million times. You know, Chuck, when are you going to take a shower? I'll take a shower soon. Well, I want to do the, you know, Diane's like, I want to do the towels. I'm like, okay. But the towels won't be needed again till probably later today, late, before you brush your teeth and go to bed, or tomorrow morning. This is at like 10 a.m. So if I go to take a shower at 11, I'll put the towels in at 11:15 because I'm done in 15 minutes. And then there you go. The towels will be ready for late in the day. Or you know what I mean? But then again, sometimes the pile of towels just disappears.
We used to have an argument over laundry in that... you know, she would do the wash. She would put the collect the dirty clothes, which are usually put in the hamper, but not from our kids. I'll give you credit.
Yeah.
They did not do that.
Right.
They do it a little bit now.
Good.
But I always did. And
big boy. But
she would do the wash. So she's putting the dirty clothes in the wash machine and putting the liquid in and hitting the button.
Yeah.
Then she would move the wash to the dryer.
Okay.
Run the dryer.
That seems
and logical. Then it was my job to take the clothes out of the dryer, fold them.
Yes.
And then distribute them.
Correct.
Which is the harder job?
Folding.
Yeah.
Fuck
it's
you. Fucking no.
It's blatantly obvious.
No one wants to do
folding.
No one wants to do folding. Folding sucks balls. It sucks.
Yeah, so I just
folding sucks.
You know what? I said, okay, just don't fold anything. I'm done. Just take it out of the dryer.
You know something?
No folding.
Very good point, because a few years ago, I don't know when it was, about 5 years
ago. And then I'm doing equal.
So here's the thing. We're doing laundry, or she's doing the laundry at that point, and she's trying to put everything away. And we had, you know, the kids were old enough, and I said, hey, look, the fact that you took the laundry out and folded it is way more than anybody expects. And it's easier if I put my stuff away because I know exactly where it goes and blah, 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 blah. So I said, just stack the stuff in piles and everybody grabs their stuff or whatever. And they put their clothes. Now we're at a point now, both our kids, when they're home, they do their own laundry. Period. End discussion. My daughter is going to break the washing machine here because she has this week's worth, what looks like 5 months worth, and she shoves it all in and crams it in this huge, you know, upright top load.
That's another reason why we don't do laundry. Only my wife does laundry is because we will break the laundry.
Right. That's the machine. You're supposed to do smaller loads, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, so the thing was to help my spouse out, I said, hey, look, just leave it. So funny thing is she's now doing smaller loads about three times a week, give or take. I'll come in the bedroom and there's a pile of laundry. You know, you come home from work. I just got home. You commute. You're in like, oh, I got to put my laundry away. And it's like, it's not that big a deal. It's just this mental thing. I'm like, well, there's clean laundry. Yeah, there's clean clothes. Exactly. It's folded. But it's like, it's almost like I'm like sitting there going, oh, you know, I mean, exactly. Well, then again, it's not a big deal. But hey, I got you, man. Folding sucks. I don't care. Anybody sucks. Folding's the worst. But hey, look, if she says, here you go, I'm just going to put your pile of your clean laundry on the bed. You fold it and do what you want.
That's what's going on now.
Unless you're like a family member went to their house years ago, opened the door, and it looks like they just sleep on their laundry. Like it never leaves the bed.
Oh, yeah.
Like I've done that. It just sits on the bed for weeks.
I've done that. Yeah, except I kind of push it off to the side and I sleep on the other side.
And I sat there and went, like, what? Huh? Yeah, that would not fly in my household. I don't know. For me, we're luckily both the same that way. But all right, so
I try not to do it, but I've done it. I have to admit.
Let's go out and do one more topic.
Okay. Hold on. Yeah, because I'm out of beer.
I'm getting close. Hold on. Let's see if there's anything in here.
We did an hour and 11 minutes.
You did pretty good, man. Or let's see. There's nothing out there, man. There's just nothing.
No.
No, this is
nothing
it.
Going on.
All right. Well, listen. Good show. It was great seeing you. Good. I'm here, man.
It was fun seeing you in Colorado on Facebook.
Yeah, I do some posts. I don't post.
Look like you're at your, you let the hair grow.
Yeah.
Did you have some long hair going on?
Yeah, hold on.
Oh, yeah.
So.
I thought I saw even a little flow in the back. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Can't
look at
you. The camera because.
Hold on, I can't see because the reflection off your forehead is blinding me.
Yep. Well, that's how it goes, man.
You might want to comb that forward.
No, that's the same forehead, dude. I'll show you the picture I had from forever. Look at go to the composite picture in 89 when I graduated.
All right.
I was younger, more handsome.
It's not going back. It's not receding?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Hair is just as thick as you.
Track that?
I do.
Okay.
Actually, I do. This is not a good photo because it's kind of, you know, you're not really good, but my hair is not coiffed.
Right.
Yeah, I went longer. Buddy of mine, his wife, and he's looking at me. He has this app that takes your picture and then makes you look like with gray hair or with long hair. And he does a long hair thing. And I look at it, he goes, yeah, man, you should do it. My friend Glenn, who was on the trip, he's like, you should do this. I'm like, really? He goes, he sends a photo to his wife. His wife texts me back. She's like, yeah, you should definitely let your hair grow long.
Oh.
And I'm like, we'll give it a shot. And he said, I'm at not the halfway. I'm just over the halfway. I started this in probably late September. So he's like, yeah, you got to give it at least 6 months plus, you know, after the 6 month mark. So if it doesn't seem to start looking right, I'm going back to short.
How many months are you at?
Well, October, November, December, January, February. I'm at 5 months.
That's 5 months of growth?
Yeah, you're not getting the whole effect here. It's not good,
dude.
If a hair is hair
some
wet.
Rogaine. Just saying.
I have no problems, dude. Nothing.
6 months without I get a haircut every 4 weeks.
Yeah, this has been true.
If I do not get a haircut, and I push it to 5, my hair is about as long as yours.
Then you have some weird hair growth. I've always had the forehead. That hasn't changed.
Right.
You're just not seeing it right now. It's been under a hat all day today. So,
well, you're saving money on haircuts.
No, I still get a haircut every 6 weeks. Gets trimmed. You got to get all the dead shit.
Hold on, wait a minute. You just said you weren't getting a haircut for 6 months.
No, I'm letting it grow.
If you're trimming,
no,
that's a haircut.
It's not. This is not a haircut. This is literally cutting off the dead ends. You'll see.
Oh,
see me in person.
Okay. All right.
The camera's not doing it justice.
That's different then.
Yeah. You have to get some of the just a little bit. coiffed and trimmed up a little bit.
I got you. That's good. That's a good thing. Seeing people for your living.
All right. All right. So good talk.
Yeah.
Get your boy Cabo out there, your buddy Dubsy, or anybody you
want.
Yeah,
we'll get Dubsy.
He is his own podcast.
March. I need the March schedule.
Coming out tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
Sounds good, buddy.
All right, take care.
Peace.
Peace. Out.